proceed any further, hear me speak.
Speak, speak.
You are all resolved rather to die than to famish.
Resolved, resolved.
First, you know Caius Marcius is chief enemy to the people.
We know it, we know it.
Let us kill him and we'll have corn at our own price. It's a verdict.
Soft.
Who comes here?
Worthy Menenius Agrippa, one that has always loved the people.
He's one honest enough, but all the rest were so.
What works, my countrymen, in hand? Where go you with bats and clubs? The matter, speak, I pray you.
Well, our business is not unknown to the Senate. I have had inkling this fortnight what we intend to do, which now will show them in deeds. They say poor suitors have strong breaths. They shall know that we have strong arms, too. We'll have corn at our price.
Why, masters, my good friends, mine honest neighbors, will you undo yourselves? Hail, noble Marcius.
Thanks. What's the matter, you dissentious rogues? That rubbing the poorage of your opinion make yourselves scabs.
We have ever your good word.
He that will give good words to thee will flatter beneath abhorring. What would you have, you curs, that like not peace nor war? The one affrights you, the other makes you proud. He that trusts to you, where he should find you lions, find you hares, where foxes, geese. You are no surer know than is the coal of fire upon the ice or hailstone in the sun. Your virtue is to make him worthy whose offense subdues him and curse that justice did it. Who deserves greatness deserves your hate. And your affections are a sick man's appetite who desires most that which would increase his evil. He that depends upon your favors swims with fins of lead and hews down oaks with rushes. Hang ye. Trust ye. With every minute you do change your mind and call him noble that was now your hate, him vile that was your garland. What's the matter that in these several places of the city you cry against the noble senate, who under the gods keep you in awe, which else would feed on one another? What's their seeking?
Corn at our price.
For corn at their own rates, whereof they say the city is well stored.
Hang on. They say. They who sit by fire and presume to know what's done in the capital, who's like to rise, who thrives, and who declines, side factions and give out conjectural marriages, making parties strong and feebling such as stand not in their liking below their cobbled shoes. They say there's grain enough. Would the nobility lay aside their ruth and let me use my sword, I'd make a quarry with thousands of these quartered slaves as high as I could pick my lance.
Nay, these are almost thoroughly persuaded, for though abundantly they lack discretion, yet are they passing cowardly. But I beseech you, what says the other troop?
They are dissolved, Hangham. They said they were an hungry, sighed forth proverbs, that hunger broke stone walls, that dogs must eat, that meat was made for mouths, that the gods sent not corn for the rich men only. With these shreds they vented their complainings, which being answered and a petition granted them, a strange one, to break the heart of generosity and make bold power look pale, they threw their caps as they would hang them on the horns of the moon, shouting their emulation.
What is granted them?
5 tribunes to defend their vulgar wisdoms of their own choice. One's Junius Brutus, one Sicinius Volutus, and I know not. There's death. The rabble should have first unroofed the city ere so prevailed with me. It will in time win upon power and throw forth greater themes for insurrections arguing.
This is strange.
Go, get you home, you fragments!
Where's Caius Marcius?
Here. What's the matter?
The news is, sir, the vultures are in arms.
I am glad on't. Then we shall have means to vent our musty superfluity. See our best elders.
Marcius, 'tis true that you have lately told us the vultures are in arms?
They have a leader, Phidias, that will put you to it. Were half to half the world by the ears, and he upon my party, I'd revolt to make only my wars with him. He is a lion that I am proud to hunt.
Then, worthy Marcius, attend upon Cominius to these wars.
It is your former promise.
Sir, it is.
Hence to your homes, be gone!
Nay, let them follow. The vultures have much corn. Take these rats thither to gnaw their garners. Worshipful mutineers, your valor puts well forth. Pray follow.
Was our man so proud as is this Marcius?
He has no equal.
When we were chosen tribunes for the people...
Marked you his lip and eyes.
Nay, but he taunts.
Being moved, he will not spare to gird the gods.
They mock the modest moon.
The present wars devour him. He is grown too proud to be so valiant.
Such a nature, tickled with good success, disdains the shadow which he treads on at noon. But I do wonder his insolence can brook to be commanded under Cominius.
Fame, at the which he aims, in whom already he's well graced, cannot better be held nor more attained than by a place below the first. For what miscarriage shall be the general's fault, though he perform to the utmost of a man? And giddy censure will then cry out of Marcius. Oh, if he had borne the business.
Besides, if things go well, opinion that so sticks on Marcius shall of his merits rob Cominius.
I pray you, daughter, sing, or express yourself in a more comfortable sort. If my son were my husband, I should freelier rejoice in that absence wherein he won honor than in the embracements of his bed where he would show most love. When yet he was but tender-bodied and the only son of my womb, when youth with comeliness plucked all gaze his way, when for a day of king's entreaties a mother would not sell him an hour from her beholding, aye, considering how honor would become such a person, that it was no better than picture like to hang by the wall, if renown made it not stir, was pleased to let him seek danger, where he was like to find fame. To a cruel war I sent him, from whence he returned, his brows bound with oak. I tell thee, daughter, I sprang not more in joy at first hearing he was a man-child than now in first seeing he had proved himself a man.
But had he died in the business, madam, how then?
Then his good report should have been my son. I therein would have found issue. Hear me profess sincerely. Had I a dozen sons, each in my love alike, and none less dear than thine and my good Marcius, I had rather had 11 die nobly for their country than one voluptuously surfeit out of action.
One part of the Roman army under Cominius meets the Volsces in the field. Another part under Marcius besieges Coriola.
They fear us not, but issue forth their city. Now put your shields before your hearts and fight with hearts more proof than shields. Advance, brave Titus! They do disdain us much beyond our thoughts, which makes me sweat with wrath. Come on, my fellows! He that retires, I'll take him for a Volsce, and he shall feel mine edge! All the contagion of the South right on you, you shames of Rome! You heard of boils and plagues plaster you all, that you may be abhorred farther than seen, and one infect another against the wind a mile. You souls of geese that bear the shapes of men, how have you run from slaves that apes would beat? Pluto and hell, all hurt behind, backs red and faces pale with fight and agued fear. Mend and charge home! Or by the fires of heaven, I'll leave the foe and make my wars on you. Look to it. Come on. If you'll stand fast, we'll beat them to their wives as they us to our trenches. So, now the gates are opened. 'Tis for the follow for the flyers.
Yeah, this one I carried a
modern aunt. I took this for...
See here these moons that are cracked drachma. The spoons, irons of a Deutschen would bury with those that wore them. The fight be done. Pack up. There is a man of my soul in our Romans. Take convenient numbers to make good the city of it. We'll haste to help commit.
Oh, God, he has a stamp of Mar...
Come I too late?
The ship more than I know the sound of Marcius...
Too late!
Marcius, we have a disadvantage.
How lies their battle? They're men of trust.
As I guess, Marcius, their bands with avowed are the entireties of their best trust. All them Orphidius, their very heart of hope.
I do beseech you, by all the battles wherein we have fought, by the blood we have shed together, by the vows we have made to endure friends, that you directly set me against Orphidius and his... that you do not delay the present, but filling the air with swords advanced and darts, we prove...
you were conducted to a gentle bath and balms applied you, yet dared I never deny your asking. Take your choice of those that best can aid your action.
Those are they that are most willing. If any such be here, as it were sin to doubt, that love this painting wherein you see me smeared, if any fear lesser his person than ill report, if any think brave death outweighs bad life and that his country's dearer than himself, let him alone, or so many so minded, wave thus to express his disposition and follow Martius. If these shows be not outward, which of you but his four Volscians dare against the great Orphidius others his? Alf, for I do hate thee, we hate Uck. Not Africa owns a sub I envy. Fix thy foot.
Let the first budger die the other's slave, and the gods doom him after.
If I fly, Martius,
in these 3 hours, tell us, alone I fought in your Corioli walls and made what work I pleased. 'Tis not my blood wherein thou seest me masked. For their revenge, wrench up thy power to the highest.
Were thou the Hector that was the whip of your bragged progeny, thou shouldst not scape me here!
Martius drives Orphidius from the field, but fails to kill him. He returns from Corioli to Rome in triumph.
Therefore, be it known, as to us, to all the world, that Caius Marcius wears this war's garland, in token of which my noble steed, known to the camp, I give him, with all his trim belonging. And from this time, for what he did before Corioli, call him, with all the applause and clamor of the host, Caius Marcius Coriolanus!
Caius Marcius Coriolanus!
Know, Rome, that all alone Marcius did fight within Corioli gates, where he hath won with fame a name to Caius Marcius. These in honor follows Coriolanus. Welcome to Rome, renowned Coriolanus.
Welcome to Rome, renowned Coriolanus.
No more of this. It does offend my heart. Pray now, no more.
Look, sir, your mother.
Oh, you have, I know, petitioned all the gods for my prosperity.
Nay, my good soldier, up, my gentle Marcius, worthy Caius. And by deed achieving honor, newly named, what is it? Coriolanus, must I call thee? Malo, thy wife.
My gracious silence, hail. Wouldst thou have laughed had I come coffined home that weeps to see me triumph? Ah, my dear, such eyes the widows in Corioli wear and mothers that lack sons.
Now the gods crown thee.
I know not where to turn. Oh, welcome home, and welcome, General. And you're welcome all.
100,000 welcomes. I could weep, and I could laugh. I am light and heavy. Welcome. A curse been o'er the very Ruton's heart that is not glad to see thee. You are free that Rome should dote on. Yet by the faith of men, we have some old crab trees here at home that will not be grafted to your relish. Yet welcome, warriors. We call a nettle but a nettle, and the faults of fools but folly.
Ever right.
Menenius, ever, ever.
Give way there and go on.
Your hand and yours. Ere in our own house I do shave my head, the good patricians must be visited, from whom I have received not only greeting, but with them change of honors.
I have lived to see inherited my very wishes and the buildings of my fancy. Only there's one thing wanting, which I doubt not but our Rome will cast upon thee.
No, good mother. I had rather be their servant in my way than sway with them in theirs.
On to the capital.
Call Coriolanus!
He doth appear!
The Senate, Coriolanus, are well pleased to make thee consul.
I do owe them still my life and services.
It then remains that you do speak to the people.
I do beseech you, let me o'erleap that custom, for I cannot put on the gown, stand naked, and entreat them for my wound's sake to give their suffrage. Please you that I may pass this doing.
Sir, the people must have their voices. Neither will they bate one jot of ceremony.
Put them not to't. Pray you, go fit you to the custom, and take to you as your predecessors have your honor with your form.
It is a part that I shall blush in acting, and might well be taken from the people. To brag unto them thus I did, and thus show them the unaching scars which I should hide, as if I had received them for the hire of their breath only.
Do not stand upon't. We recommend to you, tribunes of the people, our purpose to them. And to our noble consul wish we all joy and honor.
To Coriolanus come all joy and honor!
Sicinius and Brutus, the two elected tribunes of the people, plot the downfall of Coriolanus.
I heard him swear, were he to stand for consul, never would he appear in the marketplace, nor on him put the napless vesture of humility, nor showing, as the manner is, his wounds to the people, beg their stinking breaths.
I wish no better than have him hold that purpose and to put it in execution.
'Tis most like he will.
It shall be to him then as our good wills, a sure destruction.
We must suggest the people in what hatred he still hath held them, that to his power he would have made them mules, silenced their pleaders and disproperted their freedoms, holding them in human action and capacity of no more soul nor fitness for the world than camels in the war, who have their provend only for bearing burthens and sore blows for sinking under them.
This, as you say, suggested that some time when his soaring insolence shall touch the people will be the fire to kindle their dry stubble, and that blaze shall darken him forever.
Come, we'll inform them of our proceedings here. On the marketplace, I know they do attend us.
Well, what must I say? I pray, sir. Plagueapont, I cannot bring my tongue to such a pace. Look, sir, my wounds. I got them in my country's service when some certain of your brethren roared and ran from the noise of our own drums.
Oh, may the gods, you must not speak of that. You must desire them to think upon you.
Think upon me, hang them. Why would they but forget me like the virtues which our divines waste on them?
You'll mar all. I'll leave you. Pray you speak to them, I pray you, in wholesome manner.
Bid them wash their faces and keep their teeth clean.
So, here comes a brace. You know, sir, the cause of my standing here.
We do, sir. Tell us what hath brought you to it.
Mine own desert.
Your own desert?
Aye, but not mine own desire.
How not your own desire?
No, sir, 'twas never my desire yet to trouble the poor with begging.
You must think, if we give you anything, we hope to gain by you.
Well, then I pray your price for the consulship.
The price is to ask it kindly.
Kindly. Sir, I pray let me have it. I have wounds to show you, which shall be yours in private. Your good voice, sir, what say you?
You have deserved nobly of your country, and you have not deserved nobly.
Your enigma?
You've been a scourge to our enemies, you've been a rod to our friends. You have not indeed loved the common people.
You should account me the more virtuous that I have not been common in my love. I will, sir, flatter my sworn brother the people to earn a dearer estimation of them. It is a condition they account gentle. And since the wisdom of their choice is rather to have my hat than my heart, I will practice the insinuating nod and be off to them most counterfeitly. That is, sir, I will counterfeit the bewitchment of some popular man and give it bountiful to the desirers. Therefore, beseech you, I may be consul.
We hope to find you our friend, and therefore give you our voices heartily.
I will make much of your voices, and so trouble you no farther.
There's in all two worthy voices begged.
I have your arms at you.
The gods give you joy, sir. Heartily.
Most sweet voices.
Better it is to die, better to starve, than crave the hire which first we do deserve. Why, in this wolvish togue, should I stand here to beg of Hob and Dick that do appear their needless vouchers? Custom calls me to it. What custom wills, in all things should we do it. The dust on antique time would lie unswept, and mountainous error be too highly heaped for truth to appear. Rather than fool it so, let the high office and the honor go to one that would do thus.
I am half through. The one part suffered, the other will I do. Here come more voices.
Your voices! For your voices I have fought, watched for your voices bear of wounds 24. Battles 36 I have seen and heard of. For your voices have done many things, some less, some more, your voices. Indeed, I would be consul.
He has done nobly. Cannot go without any honest man's voice.
Therefore, let him be consul. The gods give him joy and make him good friend to the people.
Amen, amen.
God save thee, noble consul.
Worthy voices.
Behold, these are the tribunes of the people, the tongues of the common mouth. I do despise them, for they do prank them in authority against all noble sufferance.
Pass no further.
Huh? What is that?
It will be dangerous to go on. No further.
What makes this change?
Hath he not passed the noble and the common?
The people are incensed against him.
Stop, or all will fall in broil.
Are these your herd? Must these have voices that can yield them now and straight disclaim their tongues? What are your offices? You being their mouths, why rule you not their teeth? Have you not set them on?
Be calm, be calm.
It is a purpose thing and grows by plots who curb the will of the nobility. Suffer it and live with such as cannot rule nor ever will be ruled.
Call it not a plot. The people cry you mock them. And of late, when corn was given them gratis, you repined. Scandal the suppliants for the people. Call them time pleasers, flatterers, foes to nobleness.
Why, this was known before.
Not to them all.
Have you informed them, Sithence?
How? I inform them?
You are like to do such business.
Not. Unlike. Each way to better yours.
Why then should I be consul? By yon clouds, let me deserve so ill as you and make me your fellow tribune.
You show too much of that for which the people stir. If you will pass to where you are bound, you must inquire your way, which you are out of. With a gentler spirit, or never be so noble as a consul, nor yoke with him for tribune.
Let's be calm.
The people are abused. Set on. This paltering becomes not Rome. Nor has Coriolanus deserved this so dishonored rub, laid falsely in the plain way of his merit.
Tell me of corn. This was my speech, and I will speak again.
Not now, not now.
Now as I live, I will. My nobler friends, I crave their pardons. For the mutable, rank-scented many, let them regard me as I do not flatter, and therein behold themselves. I say again, in soothing them, we nourish against our senate the cockle of rebellion, insolence, sedition, which we ourselves have ploughed for, sowed, and scattered by mingling them with us, the honored number, who lack not virtue, no, nor power, but that which they have given to beggars.
Well, no more.
How no more? As for my country, I have shed my blood, not fearing outward force, so shall my lungs coin words till they decay against those measles, which we disdain should tetter us, yet sought the very way to catch them.
You speak of the people as if you were a god to punish. Not a man of their infirmity.
Well, well, we let the people know it.
What, his collar?
Collar? Were I as patient as the midnight sleep, by Jove, 'twould be my mind.
It is a mind that shall remain a poison where it is, not poison any further.
Shall remain? Hear you, this Triton of the Minnows, mark you his absolute shall. Oh, good but most unwise patricians, why, you grave but reckless senators, have you thus given Hydra here to choose an officer that with his peremptory shall, being but the horn and noise of the monsters, wants not spirits to say he'll turn your current in a ditch and make your channel his? If you are learned, be not as common fools. If you are not, let them have cushions by you. You are plebeians if they be senators, and they no less. When both your voices blended, the greatest taste, most palates theirs. They choose their magistrate, and such a one as he, who puts his shall, his popular shall, against a graver bench than ever frowned in Greece. By Jove himself it makes the consul's base, and my soul aches to know, when two authorities are up, neither supreme, how soon confusion may enter twixt the gap of both and take the one by the other. This double worship, where one part does disdain with cause, the other insult without all reason, where gentry, title, wisdom cannot conclude but by the yea and no of general ignorance, it must omit the real necessities and give way the while to unstable slightness. Purpose so barred, it follows nothing is done to purpose. Therefore beseech you, at once pluck out the multitudinous tongue. Let them not lick the sweet which is their poison. Your dishonor mangles true judgment and bereaves the state of that integrity which should be cut, not having the power to do the good it would for the ill which doth control it.
Has said enough.
Has spoken like a traitor. And shall answer as traitors do.
Our wretch, despite or well me, what should the people do with these bald tribunes on whom depending their obedience fails to the greater bench? In a rebellion, when what's not meet but what must be was law, then were they chosen. In a better hour, let what is meet be said it must be meet, and throw their power in the dust.
Manifest treason.
Mr. Consul, no.
Let him be apprehended.
Go call the people in whose name myself attach thee as a traitorous innovator, a foe to the public weal. Obey, I charge thee, and follow to thine answer.
Hansel, go hence, rotten thing, or I'll shake thy bones out of thy garments.
Help me, citizens, help. Here's he that would take from you all your power.
Seize him.
Prithee, noble friend, home to thy house. Leave us to cure this cause.
Let them pull all about mine ears, present me death on the wheel or at the wild horse's heels, or pile 10 hills on the Tarpeian rock that the precipitation might downstretch below the beam of sight. Yet will I still be thus to them.
You do the nobler.
Amuse, my mother does not approve me further, who was wont to call them woolen vassals, things created to buy and sell with groats, to show bare heads in congregations, to yawn, be still, and wonder when one but of my ordinance stood up to speak of peace and war. I talk of you. Why do you wish me milder? Would you have me false to my nature? Rather say I play the man I am.
Oh, sir, sir, sir. I would have had you put your power will on before you had worn it out.
Let go.
You might have been enough the man you are, but striving less to be so. Lesser had been the thwartings of your dispositions, if you had not shown them how you were disposed ere they lacked power to cross you.
Let them hang.
Aye, and burn too.
Come, come, you have been too rough, something too rough. You must return and mend it.
There's no remedy unless, by not so doing, our good city cleave in the midst and perish.
Pray be counseled. I have a heart as little apt as yours, but yet a brain that leads my use of anger to better advantage.
Well said, noble woman. Before he should thus stoop to the herd, but that the violent fit of the time craves it as physic for the whole state, I would put mine armor on, which I can scarcely bear.
What must I do?
Return to the tribunes.
Well, what then? What then?
Repent what you have spoke.
For them? I cannot do it to the gods. Must I then do it to them?
You are too absolute. Though therein you can never be too noble, but when extremities speak. I have heard you say, honor and policy, like unsevered friends in the war, do grow together. Grant that. And tell me, in peace, what each of them for the other lose, that they combine not there.
A good demand.
If it be honor in your wars to seem the same you are not, which for your best ends you adopt your policy, how is it less or worse that it shall hold companionship in peace with honor, as in war, since that to both it stands in like request?
Why force you this?
Because that now it lies you on to speak to the people, not by your own instruction, nor by the matter of which your heart prompts you, but with such words that are but roted in your tongue, though but bastards and syllables of no allowance to your bosom's truth. Now, this no more dishonors you at all than to take in a town with gentle words, which else would put you to your fortune and the hazard of much blood. I would dissemble with my nature where my fortune and my friends at stake required I should do so in honor. I am in this your wife, your son, these senators, the nobles. And you would rather show our general louts how you can frown than spend a thorn upon them for the inheritance of their loves and safeguard of what that want might ruin.
Noble lady, come go with us, speak fair. You may salve so not what is dangerous present, but the loss of what is past.
I prithee now, my son, go to them with this bonnet in thy hand, and thus far having stretched it, here be with them, thy knee bussing the stones. For in such business, action is eloquence, and the eyes of the ignorant more learned than the ears. Waving thy head, which often thus correcting thy stout heart, now humble as the ripest mulberry that will not hold the handling. Or say to them, thou art their soldier, and being bred in broils, hast not the soft way, which thou dost confess were fit for thee to use, as they'd claim in asking their good loves. but thou wilt frame thyself forsooth hereafter theirs, so far as thou hast power and person.
This but done, even as she speaks, why, their hearts were yours, for they have pardons being asked as free as words to little purpose.
Prithee now go and be ruled, although I know thou'st rather follow thine enemy in a fiery gulf than flatter him in a bower. Here is Cominius.
I've been in the marketplace, and, sir, it is fit you make strong party, or defend yourself by calmness or by absence. All's in anger.
Only fair speech.
I think 'twill serve, if he can bear to frame his spirit.
He must and will. Prithee now, say you will and go about it.
Must I go show them my unbarred sconce? With my base tongue give to my noble heart a lie that it must bear? Well, I will do it. Yet, were there but this single plot to lose, this mould of Marcius, they to dust should grind it and throw it against the wind. To the marketplace. You have put me now to such a part which never I shall discharge to the life.
Come, come, we'll prompt you.
I prithee now, sweet son, as thou hast said my praises first made thee a soldier, so to have my praise for this, perform a part thou hast not done before.
Well, I must do it. Away my disposition possess me some harlot spirit. My throat of war be turned, which quired with my drum into a pipe small as an eunuch, or the virgin voice that babies lulls asleep. The smiles of knaves tint in my cheeks, and schoolboys' tears take up the glasses of my sight. A beggar's tongue make motion through my lips, and my armed knees, which bowed but in my stirrup, bend like his that hath received an alms. I will not do it, lest I surcease to honor mine own truth, and by my body's action teach my mind a most inherent baseness.
At thy choice, then, to beg of thee, it is my more dishonor than thou of them. Come all to ruin. Let thy mother rather feel thy pride than fear thy dangerous stoutness, for I mock at death with as big a heart as thou. Do as thou list. Thy valiantness was mine. Thou suckst it from me, but oh, thy pride thyself.
Now pray be content, mother. I'm going to the marketplace. Chide me no more. I'll mountebank their loves, cog their hearts from them, and come home beloved of all trades in Rome. Look, I am going. Commend me to my wife. I'll return consul, or never trust to what my tongue can do in the way of flattery further.
Do your will.
Draw near, ye people!
List to your tributes! Audience! Peace, I say! First, hear me speak!
Well, say!
Peace, hold!
Shall I be charged no further than this present? Must all determine here?
I do demand, if you submit you to the people's voices, allow their officers, and are content to suffer lawful censure for such faults as shall be proved upon you.
I am content.
Lo, citizens, he says he is content. The warlike service he has done, consider. Think upon the wounds his body bears, which show like graves in the holy churchyard.
Scratches with briars, scars to move laughter.
Consider
only.
Further that when he speaks not like a citizen, you find him like a soldier. Do not take his rougher accents for malicious sounds, but, as I say, such as become a soldier rather than envy you.
Well, well, no more.
What is the matter that being passed for consul with full voice, I am so dishonored that the very hour you take it off again?
Answer to us.
Say then. It is true. I ought so.
We charge you that you have contrived to take from Rome all seasoned office, and to wind yourself into a power tyrannical, for which you are a traitor to the people.
How? Traitor?
Say temperately your promise.
The fires in the lowest hell fall in the people. Call me their traitor. Thou injurious tribune, within thine eyes set 20,000 deaths, in thy hands clutched as many millions, in thy lying tongue both numbers. I would say thou liest unto thee, with a voice as free as I do pray the gods!
Mark you, this people!
To the rock with him!
Peace! We need not put new matter to his charge, what you have seen him do and heard him speak. Beating your officers, cursing yourselves, opposing laws with strokes. and here defying those whose great power must try him. Even this, so criminal and in such capital kind, deserves the extremest death.
Aye!
But since he hath served well for Rome...
What do you, prate of service?
I talk of that that know it.
You!
Is this the promise that you made your mother?
No, I pray. I'll know no further! Let them pronounce the steep Tarpeian death. Back upon exile, flame, pent to linger but with a grain a day. I would not buy their mercy at the price of one fair word, nor check my courage for what they can give to heft with the same good morrow.
In the name of the people, and in the power of us, the tribunes, we, even from this instant, banish him our city, in peril of precipitation from off the rock Tarpeian, nevermore to enter our Rome gates. In the people's name, I say it shall be so.
It shall be so.
Hear me, my masters and my common friends.
He's sentenced. No more hearing.
There's no more to be said, but he's banished as enemy to the people and his country. It shall be so.
It shall be so. It shall be so.
You common cry of curs, whose breath I hate as reek of the rotten fens, whose loves I prize as the dead carcasses of unburied men that do corrupt my air. I banish you, and here remain with your uncertainty. Let every feeble rumor shake your hearts. Your enemies, with nodding of their plumes, fan you into despair. Have the power still to banish your defenders till at length your ignorance deliver you as most abated captives to some nation that won you without blows. Despising for you the city, thus I turn my back. There is a world elsewhere.
The people's enemy is gone! Is gone!
Our enemy is banished! He is gone!
The gods preserve our noble tribunes!
Come, leave your tears. Oh, farewell. The beast with many heads butts me away. Nay, mother, where is your ancient courage? You were used to say extremity was the trier of spirits, the common chances common men could bear, that when the sea was calm, all boats alike showed mastership in floating. Fortune's blows, when most struck home, being gentle wounded, crave a noble cunning. You were used to load me with precepts that would make invincible the heart that conned them.
Now the red pestilence strike all trades in Rome, and occupations perish.
What? I shall be loved when I am lacked. Nay, mother, resume that spirit when you were wont to say, if you had been the wife of Hercules, six of his labors you'd have done and saved your husband so much sweat. Cominius, droop not. Adieu. Farewell, my wife, my mother. I'll do well yet. Thou, old and true Menenius, thy tears are salter than a younger man's and venomous to thine eyes. Tell these sad women 'tis fond who wail inevitable strokes as 'tis to laugh at them.
My first son, whither wilt thou go? Take good Cominius with thee a while. Determine on some course, more than a wild exposure to each chance that starts in the way before thee.
I'll follow thee a month, devise with thee where thou shalt rest, that thou mayst hear of us and we of thee. So if the time thrust forth a course for thy repeal, we shall not send o'er the vast world to seek a single man and lose advantage, which doth ever cool in the absence of the needer. Fare you well. Thou hast years upon thee, and thou art too full of the war's surfeits to go rove with one that's yet unbruised. Bring me but out at gate. Come, my sweet wife, my dearest mother, and my friends of noble touch. When I am forth, bid me farewell and smile. I pray you, come. While I remain above the ground, you shall hear from me still, and never of me aught but what is like me formerly.
Coriolanus joins forces with his old enemy, Aufidius. They march on Rome.
shout is this?
My wife comes foremost. Then the honored mold wherein this trunk was framed. And in her hand, the grandchild to her blood. But out, affection.
My lord and husband!
These eyes are not the same I wore in Rome.
The sorrow that delivers us thus changed makes you think so.
Like a dull actor now, I have forgot my part and I am out, even to a full disgrace. Best of my flesh, forgive my tyranny. But do not say for that, forgive our Romans. Oh, a kiss. Long as my exile, sweet as my revenge. Now, by the jealous queen of heaven, that kiss I carried from thee, dear, and my true lip hath virgined it ere since. You gods, I prayed, and the most noble mother of the world leave unsaluted. Sink my knee of the earth. Of thy deep dew more impression show than that of common sons.
Oh, stand up, blessed. Whilst with no softer cushion than the flint, I kneel before thee, and unproperly show duty as mistaken all this while between the child and parent.
What's this, your knees to me, to your corrected son? Then let the pebbles on the hungry beach flip the stars. Then let the mutinous winds strike the proud cedars against the fiery sun, murdering impossibility to make what cannot be slight work.
Thou art my warrior. I hope to frame thee. This is a poor epitome of yours, which by the interpretation of full time may show like all yourself.
The god of soldiers, with the consent of supreme Jove, inform thy thoughts with nobleness, that thou mayst prove to shame invulnerable, and stick of the wars like a great sea mark, standing every flaw and saving those that eye thee.
Your knee, sirrah.
That's my brave boy.
Even he, your wife, myself, are suitors to you.
I beseech you peace. Or if you'll ask, remember this before. The things I have forsworn to grant may never be held by you denials. Do not bid me dismiss my soldiers or capitulate again with Rome's mechanics. Tell me not wherein I seem unnatural. Desire not to lay my rages and revenges with your colder reasons.
Oh, no more, no more. You have said you will not grant us anything, for we have nothing else to ask but that which you deny already. Yet we will ask that if you fail in our request, the blame may hang upon your hardness. Therefore, hear us.
Aufidius, and you Volsces, mark, for we'll hear naught from Rome in private. Your request.
If it were so that our request did tend to save the Romans, thereby to destroy the Volsces whom you serve, you might condemn us as poisoners of your honor. No, our suit is that you reconcile them, while the Volsces may say, this mercy we have showed, the Romans, this we received, and each in either side give thee all hail to thee and cry, be blessed for making up this peace. Thou knowest, great son, the end of war is uncertain, but this certain, that if thou conquer Rome, the benefit which thou shalt thereby reap is such a name whose repetition will be dogged with curses, whose chronicle thus writ, the man was noble, but with his last attempt he wiped it out, destroyed his country, and his name remains to the ensuing age abhorred. Speak to me, son. Thou hast affected the fine strains of honor, to imitate the graces of the gods, to tear with thunder the wide cheeks of the air, and yet to charge thy sulphur with a bolt that should but rive an oak. Why dost not speak? Think'st thou it honorable for a noble man still to remember wrongs? Daughter, speak you. He cares not for your weeping. Speak thou, boy. Perhaps thy childishness will move him more than can our reasons. There's no man in the world more bound to his mother, yet here he lets me prate like one of the stocks. Thou hast never in thy life showed thy dear mother any courtesy when she, poor hen, fond of no second brood, has clucked thee to the wars and safely home, loaden with honour. Say my request unjust and spurn me back, but if it be not so, thou art not honest, and the gods will plague thee that thou restrainest from me the duty which to a mother's part belongs. He turns away. Down. Let us shame him with our knees. To his surname Coriolanus longs more pride than pity to our prayers. Down. An end. This is the last. So we will home to Rome and die among our neighbors. Nay, behold this boy that cannot tell what he would have, but kneels and holds up hands for fellowship. Does reason our petition with more strength than thou hast to deny it. Come, let us go. This fellow had a Volscian to his mother. His wife is in Corioli, and his child like him by chance. Yet give us our dispatch. I am hushed until our city be afire, and then I'll speak a little.
Oh, mother, mother, what have you done? Behold, the heavens do ope, the gods look down, and this unnatural scene they laugh at. Oh, my mother, mother. Oh, you have won a happy victory to Rome. But for your son, believe it, oh, believe it, most dangerously you have with him prevailed, if not most mortal to him. But let it come. Orthidius, though I cannot make true wars, I'll frame convenient peace. Now, good Orthidius, were you in my stead, would you have heard a mother less, or granted less, Orthidius?
I was moved with all.
I dare be sworn you were. And, sir, it is no little thing to make mine eyes to sweat compassion. But, good sir, what peace you'll make, advise me. For my part, I'll not to Rome, I'll back with you. And pray you, stand to me in this cause.
Oh, mother.
Wife.
I am glad thou hast set thy mercy and thy honor and difference in thee. Out of that I'll work myself a foremost.
Ladies, you deserved all the swords in Italy and her confederate arms could not have made this peace.
Coriolanus makes peace with Rome. He returns to Corioli.
Hail, lords! I am returned your soldier, no more infected with my country's love than when I parted hence, but still subsisting under your great command. You are to know that prosperously I have attempted, and with bloody passage led your wars even to the gates of Rome. Our spoils we have brought home doth more than counterpoise a full third part the charges of the action. We have made peace with no less honor to the Antiochites than shame to the Romans. And we here deliver, subscribed by the consuls and patricians, together with the seal of the Senate, what we have compounded on.
Read it not, noble lords, but tell the traitor in the highest degree he hath abused your powers.
Traitor? How now?
I, traitor Martius.
Martius?
I, Martius. Caius Martius. Dost thou think I'll grace thee with that robbery, thy stolen name, Coriolanus in Corioli? You lords and head of the state, perfidiously he hath betrayed your business and given up for certain drops of salt your city, Rome. I say your city. To his wife and mother, breaking his oath and resolution like a twist of rotten silk, never admitting counsel of the war. But in his nurse's tears he whined and roared away your victory, But pages blustered him, and men of heart looked wondering each at other.
Hearest thou mass?
Name of the god, thou boy of tears!
Ha!
Come on!
Measureless liar! Thou hast made my heart too great for what contains it. Boy! O slave! Pardon me, my lords. It is the first time that ever I was forced to scold. Your judgments, my grave lords, must give this cur the lie, and his own notion who wears my stripes impressed upon him, that must bear my beating to his grave, shall join to thrust the lie unto him. Cut me to pieces, Bolshees, men and lads! Stain all your edges on me! Boy! False hound! If you have writ your annals true, 'tis there that like an eagle in a dovecote, I flattered your Volscians in Corioli. Alone, I did it! Boy!
Why, noble lord, will you be put in mind of his blind fortune, which was your shame, by this unholy braggart for your own eyes and ears?
Let him die for it!
Oh, that I had him, with six Orphiniuses or more, his tribe, to use my lawful sword!
Insolent villain!
Kill, 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 kill!
Rage is gone, and I am struck with sorrow.
Take him up. Help three of the chiefest soldiers, I'll be one. Beat thou the drum, let it speak mournfully. Trail your steel pikes. Woe in this city, he hath widowed and unchided many a one, which to this hour bewail the injury.
Yet he shall have a noble memory. Assist.
Mm-hmm.